Today is Monday, March 16, 2015. It's now 5:17 p.m. I'll call to order this meeting of the Alloway Board of Appeals. First item of business is roll call. Ewald?
Here.
Strahan?
Here.
Kaplan?
Here.
Kornowski?
Here.
And Jacobs is here. Next item of business is approval of the minutes from the July 14, 2014 meeting. Everyone should have received a copy of those minutes. Anyone have any comments, corrections, questions?
I move their adoption.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor, saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes. I'd like to add just one point, and that is that I had asked at that meeting that the election of a vice chairperson be placed on the agenda, but it wasn't placed on today's agenda, so if you could make a note of that, to place it on the next agenda so that we have a vice chairperson.
Yeah, we don't need one.
Yes, you do. All right, the next item of business is the petition from Nick Backhouse, the restoration maintenance manager, requesting a 1-foot variance per parking stall when constructing the parking lot at Heritage Hill State Historical Park, 2640 South Webster Avenue on parcel AL119-3. The applicable ordinance provides that a parking stall shall be the space to park one car and shall be a rectangle not less than 10 feet in width, measured at the lateral center line, and 20 feet in length, measured at the longitudinal center line. Is Mr. Backhouse here?
Yes.
Would you like to present your petition at this time?
We did a bit of redesigning our main lot here at Heritage Hill, and there was a number of reasons for that. The original ADA spots were not, we learned they weren't in compliance. So with the pulverization of these lots and the plan to re-asphalt, we had to make some of these changes. So just as a background here, we did move the ADA spots to the corner, as you see on your map. And with the ADA parking areas moved, we were looking at other considerations in improving this existing lot and the way it flows and with the amount of land we have. So you'll see that there's an addition of 17 spots on the south edge, right, leading away from the ADA parking spots. You'll see that the islands are improved for aesthetics and for traffic flow as you come into the park. We want to separate vehicles from school buses. We have a lot of school buses coming in. So with that said, we also, you know, we're looking at ways we can maximize the number of parking spots that the park has. And that's when we learned that the existing spots we have at the park since the park's beginning were not in compliance. So, you know, rather than taking a step back and losing additional parking, you know, we're petitioning that we could maintain the 9-foot wide stalls within the park. You'll see the north lot, there's really no changes from existing to the proposed. So we would be losing approximately 6 spots in the north lot and 6 in the main lot if we were to increase the size to 10 foot. In the past, we have never really recognized any issues with the widths, the existing widths, the 9-foot widths of our parking stalls. We are a little wide on the center aisle on the north lot. We we feel that's pretty important because we do have school buses that come in. So we're a bit wider there, and which gives you more turn radius into your parking stalls. So there's never been an issue there as well. So one concern that we've always had is, you know, we are landlocked at Irigio, and we want to maximize the, you know, of course, the number of stalls for our guests. And we do fill quite a bit. We fill up in special events, especially. Now, we have a contingency plan for special events. When we anticipate, we have lots of vehicles and lots of attendants, and that is the use of the CP Center down the road, and we shuttle bus from there. However, our guests still, they still want a short walk, so they choose to park on the side streets. And I, you know, that's really never going to change, I think. But this perhaps at some levels of attendance, at, you know, in certain events, perhaps this could reduce the amount of people crossing Webster as well. That's been an issue where we, we'll hire Brown County to, you know, police that, or, you know, for a crosswalk. So we have concerns about, you know, minimizing or reducing the number of people crossing Webster. And just in general, just that Heritage Hill is landlocked. We've entertained the thought of constructing an additional lot next to the water tower area, but that doesn't seem real feasible because the elevation is higher. And to the south, of course, we have the neighborhood, and Webster to the west or to the east, and then Cotton House to the east. And the Cotton House area, at one point in the past, we considered doing that, but then we found it to be an archaeological catalog area, so there are issues with that as well. So we have pretty much limited options to keep and maintain as much parking as we can.
Is that it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just stay there, please. Questions or from the board members?
I have a question about your comment about putting an additional spot next to the water tower. You said it's not feasible.
Yeah, at the time it was looked into as an option. The elevation is quite high. You have to really cut into that soil quite a bit. I think there's like a 5-foot difference in elevation, which again would play into certain grade limits. And it at that time it was really expensive per spot when you broke it down. So it just didn't seem feasible to do.
You couldn't put some kind of a ramp up there into that?
Another concern was actually the close parking to the Cotton House. We thought it might take away some of the aesthetics, seeing, you know, shiny bumpers and things like that. We also entertained the thought of perhaps planting up there too, but again, it was it just didn't play out to be the best spot for it.
Have you thought about putting any parking down on the riverside side of the park?
Yes, and that is an option that that was the very last option that we entertained as more or less a satellite parking lot. But again, it just, at this time, it just doesn't seem feasible to do with the cost, and just the way the our guests flow into the park could be problematic with our programming.
Has there been any comment from any of the public safety representatives or regarding the radiuses around the turns?
No. Apparently, they did put the templates on here. So,
okay.
The engineer did. And are you referring specifically to the one by the 88?
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And that was a concern initially for us. But they say, you know, they put the template on and they said it was going to work, so.
The stalls are 9 feet wide now?
Yes.
Okay.
Other questions? Just so we're clear on the record, the current plan that you're proposing is the site plan that you provided to us tonight. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And this is the one that shows the ADA parking spots in the southwest corner of the parking area.
Correct, yes.
Okay. And the water tower, my recollection is that that would be approximately west to northwest off the northwest corner of the parking area that you're showing here.
Yes, yes, that small section of land.
And Cotton House is directly west of the parking area.
Yes, correct.
Let me just say that personally, I've observed many times driving down Webster Avenue when Heritage Hill has an event that people park on the other side of Webster Avenue because they really have no other place to park. And so then they have to cross a very busy street to get to Heritage Hill. And oftentimes there is a squad car there in order to stop traffic so that people can safely cross Webster Avenue. It's not the best situation, in my opinion. On the other hand, I suspect that some of your events are so large that you really have no alternative. Is that true?
That's correct. You know, that's where the shuttle bus comes in with the CP Center. But regardless, you know, people always take that simple route where they'll not still want to use the shuttle bus and they'll park on the side streets. You know, that's like Van Buren Street is the same thing in that neighborhood. People kind of find a spot in them areas and then cut through the neighborhood to the park.
Yeah. Have you considered, other than this current plan, and what you're talking about with the shuttle buses, and I know where that other parking area is, it's probably two blocks away somewhere in that area, on the other side of 172.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Yeah, and that was one of our options at one time.
Yeah.
There was a concern, again, crossing the DOT railway, which is pretty much the plans for that spot was before 9/11. So there, we consulted with DOT on that issue where we would be crossing across their railway, and they weren't really favorable for that. So, and again, it's just another odd entry into the park. Now you have kind of, you're not going through our education center, which is designed, it's got the gift shop, it's got all the guest services in that facility. And now you're, and some orientation as well. And then there's, our problem is you're sending people through a separate gate and they miss a portion of that experience for, the park.
How many acres is the park?
It's 54 total. And, LA has, from the corner where the pond is, 2172, that is Heritage Hill property. And then from 172 going north, and from the Fox River Trail going west, that is also to Lazar Street. That's also DNR property as well. And, the parking lot, one of the options for the parking lot was off of Lazar Street. However, the Native First Contact ethnic area of the park, the theme area, that's kind of where that's designated as future development. So,
how many acres between Webster and Riverside, approximately?
Between Webster, I think it's 48.
Okay. So have you looked at other alternatives in terms of parking on that property?
Yeah, we have. And, the challenge always is trying to keep, being a living history museum, just trying to keep the modern things away from the historic theme areas and our historic programming. Because we've entertained the thought of building like next to the church off of Lazar Street on the upper portion of Lazar. And again, it seems to build a large enough parking lot that would satisfy our needs, it would just be way too much valuable, potentially future development space for our programming.
What do you think your needs are?
Well, I always thought, you know, you could build a 200 car lot, and at some point it may not be large enough. You know, it's just one of the things. You know, what is big enough, I guess. And you know, as we move into the future, and as the park grows as well, programming grows, attendance grows. Whatever size you determine you're going to build, it may still be small, you know, too small. So
are you saying that you likely will never build any further parking lots on that area between Webster and Riverside?
No, not going to make that statement. But at this point, it seems that it's quite distant. The feasibility of it is distant. You know, the cost of it and the other needs at the park, you know, in comparison. So,
how many times a year would you say there's the need for a squad car on Webster Avenue to assist people crossing Webster for one of your events? How many of those events a year?
We usually coordinate it with our very large events, so we know we're going to have a large attendance, which is probably, I think it's like four or five times a year. Them events, we also are, you know, hiring the shuttle bus as well. So, and then of course the night events plays into it. You know, one event that comes to mind, of course, is our Halloween that goes into the evening, and you know that was always concerned with, you know, the dark crossing.
Would you say that those are typically the only events where this site plan is not going to be sufficient for parking?
No, there's other events like Hops on the Hill, and there's also actually weddings from time to time that actually exceed our existing parking. So, as far, you know, when we move into the future, of course, it's, you know, we want to increase our attendance as well, so.
Any other questions from board members?
I guess to go back to that location next to the water tower, is there anything we could look at? I mean, how many spots could you put there? When was the last time a feasibility study on that area was done?
I think that was probably in the late 1990s.
And what kind of expansion could go there?
It was, I think, like 30 cars. Which, again, you know, it would, regardless, you know, it'd never be big enough, you know, 30 cars, but...
I did not check this before, but I have attended some of your concerts.
Yes.
And some people seem to enter from the side. What kind of parking? Is there any possibility of putting parking there?
Yeah, and that's what we looked into next to our church, because, you know, with the weddings we have and things, it really is kind of a tight area for future development as well. We do allow, different than other events, so Music on the Range, we do allow our guests to enter through them gates, though, because it is a free event. So, you know, we open gate 3, which is down by Riverside and Lazar, and of course gate 2, which is near the church, and gate 1, so we have multiple gates open, non-paying guests. And most of them know exactly where they're going to, so we consider that a little bit different event than an average or, you know, a regular fundraising event or whatever.
I assume that you know the conditions that can be cited for our providing a variance. What would you say to those conditions? the unnecessary hardship, the unique property limitation, the protection of the public interest.
And we're just looking for, you know, in the financial position we're in, we're looking for additional parking. This goes back again to the feasibility of other areas. At this point, we just can't. There's too many other needs in the park, along with, you know, the other issues I stated. So we found this to be, you know, the redesign of this lot to add additional place,
right,
you know, perfect. Because we did own the property still south of our chain link fence on the south border of our parking lot. So, you know, with moving that ADA spots there, and then we did find that we had enough room to increase our parking at a pretty cost-efficient price. So.
I guess my question wasn't really clear. As we quote what needs, if we are to provide a variance, we have to say it was an unnecessary hardship because it was unique property limitations because, and it was protection of the public interest because. What? How would you ask us to respond in that way?
I think to reduce, I'm not going to say minimize or eliminate the off-street parking and the crossing of Webster,
okay,
but to reduce the amount of people. But
that's protection of public interest, you're saying?
Yes,
okay.
That's correct.
The unique property limitation?
Neighborhood to the south pretty much limits development or expansion.
But
Webster Avenue, the park itself and the archaeology areas.
Okay.
And the other areas where you were referring to with next to the water tower, at this point it's just we didn't feel it fit.
Okay.
Thank
you.
I just had one additional. You're reducing your handicap parking by, looks like, 7 spaces from current state.
Yeah. What happened was when they drew the plan up that you're seeing your 8.
Yeah.
Then we're actually temporary.
Okay.
You know, we're sensitive to what event we're going to have, and so we'll actually put in additional. We have provisions in the pavement to install extra signs, but typically it's 4.
Okay, so permanent spots.
Permanent, yes. Permanent is 4.
Mm-hmm. 4 or 5?
Yeah, you're putting in 5 permanent, but right now current state is 4 permanent.
That is correct.
Oh, okay.
And the existing parking lot footprint, again, that's a little inaccurate as well. They for whatever reason, picked it up and put it on the plan, but they're painted over.
Okay.
On the north lot. They were put there when the Cotton House was our visitor center for a short time. We were expanding our education center.
I'm wondering if Brad has anything to add to this.
I'm sorry?
I'm just wondering if you have anything to add.
No, not at this point. No.
Or Trevor?
I have just one other question. Given the potential street parking from Iroquois going south to Lazar, it seems to me that's a pretty big area of street surface for potential parking. Have you ever looked at the possibility of establishing another entrance permanently along Lazar?
No, not that I'm aware of.
You haven't looked at that?
No.
Thank you. Any comments from members of the public? Yes, sir. Would you please step forward? Give us your name and address.
Clarence and Tusser, 2680 South Webster. Originally, I received a notice. Now, first of all, let me state that Heritage Shelter is an outstanding organization. It's an outstanding facility. And I had mixed emotions because I was going to testify against originally. And I'm sorry to explain that. But I like Heritage Shelter. And it creates a little bit of a problem for us periodically with the housing. You know, I guess they have nowhere to park, but we live with that easily. The parking has been a long-term problem ever since the park opened. I learned today, and I met Nick for the first time, is that they've inadvertently been in violation probably for almost 38 years. But I happened to, my objection was to be on principle, not against the Heritage Hill, because I like the 10-foot width requirement in our zoning code. I think it's good. I've had my share of door dings in my long lifetime. I'll call some to your attention. Maybe somebody that you have nothing to do with you, since you're the lawyer, you can look it up. It's a question of whether they even require a variance because they're a state agency, and my understanding is that they can overstep our rules sometimes. So this action might be moot, but anyhow, regarding additional space, I spoke to Nick about this today. There's a property next door to me, which has been vacant for 6 years. It's not kept up. Very nice lady, but it's not kept up. I would love if Heritage Hill could afford to buy it. I would love to have 30 cars parked there rather than that house and the yard that's not kept. In fact, I might even, if they're willing, I'll talk to the new director if they have a, see if I can help them find some funding source for them to buy that. But anyhow, I no longer have an objection. It's existed so long. It doesn't impact me directly, except on the principle of liking those wide spaces.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other comments by members of the public? All right. Then we can consider the petition. Who would like to start?
I have a question, Jeff. Because it currently are 9-foot parking places, is there any grandfathering considerations that they can cite or we can cite as a...
I don't know.
Yeah, would they be legal nonconforming with if they built a parking lot prior to any zoning ordinance requiring 10-foot wide parking spaces?
Potentially, yes, but of course now they want to change it. So that may bring the ordinance into play again. As long as they left it the way it is now, they probably would be grandfathered, but
yeah.
But now we have a new plan.
That's what I would think.
And a new situation comes into play.
I have a question again. Is the north area of the parking lot, is that going to change in size?
No, it's the exact same footprint as the north lot. The only modifications that would be made there is to update the stormwater inlets so they have a more capacity than existing, but the footprint remains the same. And it's just a pulverization of the existing asphalt with repaving.
Could this be handled separately from that?
Why?
I suppose, but that isn't what they're asking for. Certainly you could file a petition where you'd ask for a variance on part of the parking lot, not all of it, but that isn't what they've done.
I mean, I have a problem. I think there are other potential parking remedies, and I think the Heritage Hill can be used in enforcing the 10-foot size.
Well, here's my view. I probably live, 3-4 blocks away from the park. I don't go to the park too much, but I do drive up and down Webster Avenue and
and I've observed the situation there, and it's a problem. To me, the issue is, how do you address the problem they have there? The problem they have is that they don't have enough parking. That's
right.
That's the basic problem. You know, if I were them, I'd try to find a way to develop more parking on my property. On the other hand, having been through the park a couple times, I can understand why they would be concerned about that having an adverse effect on what they're trying to preserve from a historical standpoint. It's a difficult problem, but as I look at it, the parking lot they have now has been there a long time. It, as I understand it, the width of the spaces is 9 feet. I'm not aware of anyone ever having complained that they're not wide enough. And what they're asking for is 9 feet, which is what they have now. So even though I don't think adding 12 spaces is much in terms of the overall problem, you've got to address it some way, and at least it does provide 12 more places. And that means, in my mind, there's 12 less people that have to cross Webster Avenue to get to an event there, and that's what really concerns me about the situation, is, I guess, what I would call the public interest.
Or 12 less families, really.
Yeah. And
12 spots or 6 spots? There's 66 total here, right?
I think overall 12.
Oh, is it?
Six and each.
Even with the new along the south edge, is it still only 12 extras?
So we have we actually gain 17.
I thought so. Yeah.
To the south.
Okay.
From existing, it's the 12 spots we would lose.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
If
okay.
we had to go with the 10-foot.
Right.
Okay. I understand.
Rule.
Yeah.
So from my standpoint, I would just as soon see people be inconvenienced by 1 foot less width in their parking stall than to see people going across Webster Avenue. To me, that's an overriding factor, but I do think that there is a unique property limitation here in terms of what the park is faced with between Riverside and Webster,
mm-hmm.
and the available space. And I would point out that unique property limitation is or can be a factor in terms of unnecessary hardship as
right.
well. So those are my thoughts on it.
I think I share the same things that you did, Jeff.
I would certainly like to see the park come up with some other ideas on this problem. It's not going to go away. No matter what we do, it's
right,
not going away.
Right.
Yeah, this will be a temporary fix, a small fix, right?
Small fix, yeah.
The park becomes more popular. I live a couple blocks away, too, down on the other side of Webster, and the cars come all the way into my neighborhood, so people are walking. Lots of people have to cross that road, whether we use 12 spots or not. So we can prevent it from getting worse, I guess,
yeah.
in the short term. But I think that's a good point, is to look for a longer-term solution, something that we'd like to see.
That's the thing, a longer-term solution. I don't think this is a temporary fix. This is permanent.
Sure.
If we give this, it's permanent. But long-term, I think there needs to be more.
It doesn't fix the problem.
Right.
Right.
Other comments?
there just seems to be conflict between the unnecessary hardship and the protection of the public interest, because your events are still going to go on even if you don't get the variance approved, and we're still going to have the same problems. So, but I agree that the protection of the public interest, that's a big deal, not having 17 vehicles on side streets.
Yeah.
Anyone care to make a motion?
I'm ready to make a motion that we approve the variance based upon the protection of the public interest and I think the unique property limitation fits also. I'm not sure the unnecessary, I mean, it is an unnecessary hardship, but you can't take always the financial aspect into account.
All right. Is there a second to the motion?
I would second that.
Okay. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Motion carries. Okay, you have your variance.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, the next item on the agenda is the petition from Keegan Pries, requesting a 1 foot variance of the maximum height allowed for front yard fencing at Pack and Play Daycare, 1309 South Webster Avenue on parcel AL862. The applicable ordinance requires a height of 3 foot maximum. And as I understand it, the petitioner would like to build a fence that's higher than 3 feet. So, who is going to present this petition?
I'm Keegan Freed. One note I wanted to make, though, the name of the company did change, so it is no longer Pack and Play Daycare. It's called You Are My Sunshine.
I know a song like that.
We are currently applying for our license as a small group center daycare in Alloway, which we don't have many in the area, and it is state required that we have a 4 foot fence around our on-site play area for the children for safety reasons. We don't have any other option in the rear of the building for an on-site play area. It is a parking lot that is shared by us and the nearby buildings. So if we would not be able to get, it's 1 foot higher is the fence that we were looking to put in place of the current one. Otherwise, we would have to attempt to file an exemption to use an off-site play area, which would be a nearby park that we'd have to walk to every day with the children.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Kind of pretty basic and simple. It's the existing fence is technically 4 feet, but when they've buried portions of it, so when it does come up to the sidewalk, that it is only 3 feet. According to our licensing specialist, if we did not have it 4 feet, we would not get a license approved to be a small group center.
You're going to get asked this anyway, so I might as well ask you now. In order to grant a petition for a variance, we have to make certain findings.
Okay.
We have to find that that there is an unnecessary hardship.
Okay.
And it's a kind of a strict standard. It requires that that you can make no feasible use of the property without this variance. It's almost impossible to show, frankly. But there are, if you can show that strict conformity is unnecessarily burdensome or that you have some unique property limitation, that might suffice. You also have to show that granting this variance would not be against the public interest. Okay. So, do you have any comments on those factors?
An unnecessary hardship. I mean, we, at this point, do believe that if we did not receive the variance in the fence and did not have the on-site play area that is required as a daycare, that the business would not be able to continue on. And at this point, we would have to try to rid ourselves of the building as a whole and try to find a new space then for this. The location is very ideal for us. I'm from Alloway and I've done small in-home family daycare, so I'm very familiar with the area and the people, and they are very excited about this particular location. There isn't anything offered nearby. And if we, it is state required to have this on-site play area. If it was not used for that purpose, it wouldn't be used at all for as a daycare facility. In order to, if we would try attempt an exemption to use an off-site facility such as a park, it comes with a lot of safety issues, as our area in front is a controlled area. We decide what equipment is used there, how it is staffed, how it's monitored, and the safety of the children is all on site for us. Bringing them to an off-site area such as a park that isn't fenced in or isn't enclosed, or even traveling, all the risks that come with it, causes it's very difficult for daycares to get approved an off-site play area because of all those safety issues.
As I understand it, this property is not currently used as a daycare.
No, we have made the upgrades to it and have an architect coming in to redraw the plans and approve it as a daycare facility.
Okay. And so you're asking for this variance so that you can go forward with your plans and okay. Any questions from board members?
Are you the leaseholder right now?
Yes.
Did you sign that lease with the intention of making it a daycare? I imagine that that's why you signed the lease.
Yes.
Okay. Were you aware of the law when the lease was signed? Or?
No, of the 3-foot variance, no, that we had to put in a variance for. I was aware of the 4-foot requirement, the 3-foot maximum ordinance that is in now, I was not aware of.
Are you planning on having the fence be put where the current fence is?
Yes, correct. It would just be a foot higher, and then it would be more of a lattice fence to maintain a little bit more privacy. It's wrought iron fence at this point. It's not exactly safe for the children either. It contains a lot of gaps in between the wrought iron, too, so it would be more enclosed for them.
And the parking lot that's in the back is a shared parking lot, so there isn't any way that you could put the area closest to your building.
No, there's actually an apartment above us that's used for residential. And it's actually a complete strip with two other companies next to us. So it's all shared. And the companies next to us have customers, so they can park wherever they would like as well. There's no designated parking spots that are ours.
Any other questions from board members?
Again, I'm wondering if Trevor or Brad have any comments.
We did receive a question from a resident, and we received that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other than that, no.
You don't have anything besides it. No other questions. Okay. Questions or comments from members of the public who are present here today? You may step down. Would you please come up here and tell us your name and where you live?
Hi, my name is Katrina Kidders. I currently work for Keegan. Live in Sabisky, so it's a little bit of a hike. But I just want to add that if it makes a difference at the fence, if we do move our daycare in the future and expand or whatever our plans are, that the fence could come back down and it would go back to the 3-foot fence, the iron fence that's currently there.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sarah Caters, and I am... I work in the village of Alloway, a 30-year nurse with one of the local health systems, and whereas I do not have children in daycare any longer, I have a lot of coworkers and lead a team of nurses who have children in daycare, and just would consider or ask that you consider helping this to move forward, because there is a very great need for reliable, high-quality daycare. The property that Keegan is seeking to put You Are My Sunshine in retains the intimacy of an in-home daycare, which is hard to find in commercial space. So I just ask for those reasons that you help this project to move forward.
Thank you. All right, any discussion among the board?
My comment is simply that there's a reason that the state has a requirement for a 4-foot fence. And I agree that there is a need for this kind of daycare, quality daycare, and with the in-home kind of atmosphere. I don't know how it fits our variance reasons, but if there's any way we can grant this, I would encourage us to do so.
I have a question. Can it be a conditional use, or does that have to be in the application?
We can condition a variance. We've done that before.
Mm-hmm. Would you have a mind?
That if it no longer is a daycare facility, then it goes, that fence comes down and the 3-foot fence comes back.
So if that requirement goes away from the business and the property, then so does the variance.
Okay. Okay, well, just be careful about how you word that, because there, we don't want to require that the 3-foot fence that's there now go back up. In other words,
it could be no fence.
The fence come down.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The variance is terminated.
And okay.
No more 4-foot fence. Any other comments? I've kind of struggled with this one a little bit because. I think there's a reason for this requirement, and we received correspondence from Tom Delsart. The village received correspondence. He indicates that he can't be here tonight. He has concerns on this issue. He wonders what the original reasoning is for this ordinance. He says he was told several years ago that it was primarily for the safety of motorists. He was denied a similar request in Green Bay and Wrightstown. But he asks why Alloway has a fence ordinance that's contrary to neighboring communities. We did receive some additional information on that from Trevor, and he apparently checked, and it appears 3 feet. 4 feet if it's 90% open. Is that open space?
See-through.
See-through. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
It'd be like the great, the iron fence that's there now. It'd be some great percentage open, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Green Bay is 3 feet. 4 feet if 50% open. 5 feet if 80% open. Ashwaubenon is 3 feet. Bellevue is 3 feet. I kind of tried to figure out why people have an ordinance like this, and personally, I think it's just aesthetics.
Yeah.
I thought, well, let's say you're driving down the street, and somebody's got a 6-foot fence in their front yard. I don't think it would look too good. I think it would detract from the aesthetics of the neighborhood. And so that's the only reason I can think of why we have a 3-foot limit. And I understand why something higher would be detracting. Of course, 4 feet isn't all that much higher. And you certainly wouldn't want to have a situation where there's a danger because you don't have a high enough fence.
Right.
Of course, on the other hand, there's nothing that says that this property has to be a daycare center either. And, you know, maybe it's not the best idea to have a daycare center on Webster Avenue. But that's not my decision, that's your decision. And whatever kind of fence you have there, assuming you do have one, I hope nobody gets out.
One that's standing now, that would probably happen, but the new one we hope to implement.
Will the only entrance into that play area be from inside your building?
Indoors, yes. Yes, everyone would park in the rear and enter the daycare through there, and then only staff members would be bringing the children out from indoors. There will be no exit or entrance from Webster.
Or on the sides.
Or on the sides. No, it the fence wraps all the way around and leads up against the building. So the there is a gate there, but that would be eliminated. It would be closed, and we would just have it as a fence, not an openable gate.
I noticed that there's about a foot difference in height from the sidewalk to where the ground is. Where would the 4 feet be above?
Above the sidewalk. Well, it would be above from where the ground is. Where they're standing, it has to be 4 feet. So it is. The land is very level, very differently. In the back, it's deeper than when it comes up to the sidewalk. So it would be from the outer, where the fence would sit in front, from that ground level, it would have to be 4 feet.
The inside of the fence or the outside of the fence?
The inside of the fence. There would be no access for the children from the outside of the fence.
And can I just state that this is also commercial property? It's not.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to mention, I thought maybe I was the only guy who didn't know that. I'm the new guy. It is a commercial property?
It's commercial property, correct. It's own commercial.
Correct.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Anybody want to make a motion?
All three of the requirements, the variance standards, they're mutually exclusive. So when I run through the list, it's hard to maybe one beats another, but you know they're mutually exclusive. So we have to kind of find, I think, for each one of them, if there is a. I'm having a hard time with unnecessary hardship for a use, because it doesn't diminish the property's value. And, you know, with that, it's a self-imposed hardship. I hear you.
You know, since you're relatively new here, let me just say that there's no doubt that these are tough standards. Mm-hmm. They are tough. And I can tell you that historically, boards of appeals here and elsewhere, you know, didn't really take a real harsh approach to this with these standards, but the law is that you have to do that. And you have to find that each of these three standards has been fulfilled. You have to do that. Or you can't grant the variance. So it is important, but on the other hand, I'm not sure that there's not a hardship here. The question is really whether it's a hardship that arises to the standard. And it's a difficult standard, I'll admit that. Maybe someone else can find that hardship here. You really can't say that they can't make a feasible use of the property without a 4-foot fence.
Right.
I mean, it could be used for something else.
Right.
Sometimes a legitimate hardship results from the interaction of the provisions of the zoning ordinance with other actions or regulations adopted by public authorities. I think that we would fit that.
Yes, apparently there's a state regulation that requires a 4-foot
yes.
fence for a daycare facility. And that's a good point. Good point.
And I think there also is the unique property limitation that the backyard is a joint
yep.
Parking lot that they cannot make use of the backyard for their restricted play area.
And I think I shouldn't speak for the rest of you. I have no problem seeing that it's a protection of the public interest, protecting our children. I would be ready to make a motion to grant the variance.
May I make a friendly suggestion that it is a conditional use, and if it is no longer used?
Didn't I say that? I thought that was all part of what I said. No.
He wasn't done yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like to continue?
No, that's exactly what I was saying, yes.
You may go ahead and say it then.
No, that's it.
Okay. And then?
Do you get it, Debbie?
The 4-foot fence would come down.
Yeah. Would be removed.
Because then it would no longer have the state
right.
mandated 4-foot.
And that means the variance would basically be terminated. In that
yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for those words. That's all what I was motioning.
We're a cooperative effort.
All right. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll sure. second it.
Okay. All those in favor, so indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Anyone opposed, say nay. Motion carries. You have your variance. Good
Thank
luck.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Are there any announcements? All right. Then we can entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you all.